You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, this is the founder of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, Todd Urey, excited to bring you some business insights today. I met this guy, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years ago through LinkedIn initially, part of an amazing pharmacy organization that we can talk about later. But before we get into this interview, I met Jonathan Ogorchak about 2 or 3 years ago. And what interested me was his ability to make sense of many things with regards to operations, technology, and pharmacy, and how to make sense specific to your pharmacy operation. His organization is now called Stack Pharmacy. You can follow along, go to stackpharmacy.com. And before we get into this conversation, as a pharmacy operator and owner, regardless if you're in community, long-term care, specialty, or better yet, even a mixed bag, because there's lots of pharmacy entities, pharmacy owners out there who are doing multiple facets of pharmacy care for different type of patients in different settings, you have to have the right processes in place. And we don't expect you to figure this out all on your own. So the Business of Pharmacy podcast, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, brings you episodes that really dig into aspects of business operations like this today. Jonathan, welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Todd, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today.
So let's tell a little story about Jonathan and what you've done and where you came from. Let's not start at birth because that'll probably be boring. Let's start at pharmacy school. So you are a Duquesne guy, go Pittsburgh. But start from there and take us up through your career in pharmacy.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I started, you know, and graduated from Duquesne University in 2009. One of those individuals, like, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I hadn't worked community throughout my internships. I actually worked in the hospital setting. You know, I thought, is residency right for me? Wasn't entirely sure. And, you know, started down that path. Ultimately, I decided, you know, this isn't a good fit and, you know, was out looking for an opportunity. I ended up taking a teaching and research fellowship at Duquesne University right out of school and, you know, went through almost a full year of that and came to the realization that in order for me to be a better educator, I wanted to have some real world practical opportunities. And, you know, back in the day, it was via monster.com. I don't even know if that's still around anymore. But, you know, went and looked for a job and found a job I could apply for with this thing called a specialty pharmacy that was nearby. Filled out my application, got a call within about 30 minutes. They said, can you come in today for an interview? Came in for the interview, and they offered me a job on the spot. And the rest was kind of history. You know, I started in specialty as a true you know, practicing pharmacist at that point in time, and, you know, did things like accreditation management, you know, helped to build some clinical programs, helped to build some dosing algorithms, you know, for this big corporate entity. And, you know, really enjoyed this whole aspect of what specialty pharmacy brought to the table. And, you know, as things continued to grow and as, you know, there were different opportunities available, you know, I went from large corporate and was recruited by this, you know, little fledgling independent specialty and, you know, kind of helped, you know, was one of their first employees to help start it out of a garage and grow it into an actual, you know, respectable organization. I was with them for about, about almost, just shy of 5 years, doing everything from, you know, changing toilet seats and cleaning the bathrooms to, you know, building some software and some technology for them. And, you know, came to the realization that I wanted to do, you know, something different. You know, my family was growing. My family was, you know, we had number three on the way at that point in time, and, you know, wanted to have an opportunity to take some time to relax and enjoy that. And, you know, just in talks with other pharmacists and pharmacy owners, it came to this realization that a lot of people were struggling with the same things that I struggled with as not only a pharmacy owner, but you know, somebody that was running the operations, which was, let's find standard ways to do things. And so that's kind of where this whole concept of Stack came about. It was, let's find ways that we could take and automate a lot of the processes that pharmacists run into and pharmacy owners run into on a given basis. And, let's put some technology behind it. Let's help to support keeping the activities of the business within the business, and you can actually trust that they're being done because you're not entirely reliant on a person to have to do those sorts of things.
So the organization first was Accredo Pharmacies, which was a specialty pharmacy.
Correct.
And then Panther Pharmacy, a shout out to Tim Davis and his team originally in founding Panther. What an amazing organization. Once again, Pittsburgh-based, so go Pittsburgh. And I remember when Tim told me he was actually going to start that organization, I was blown away at his entrepreneurship drive. That organization is still doing amazing things. But it's so much fun to see how you've taken a passion and a role with an organization like that, and now you're planning to expand the Stack philosophy to other pharmacy owners in order to help them scale their business without having to worry about operational processes that are very tedious and also undefined.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not the, let's face it, you know, managing licensure, managing accreditation, it's not the sexiest stuff in the world. But at the same time, there are activities of the business that are absolutely necessary in order for you to be a revenue driving organization. If you don't have those guide rails in place, if you don't have everything appropriately managed from the business operation sense, then you're not going to be able to land another contract with a third party payer. You're not going to land an opportunity with a drug manufacturer. You're not going to have these opportunities if you don't have your house in order. And so Stack is really geared and designed to help put those parameters, put that framework in place to take the thinking out of it. I can't tell you how many times, looking at my experience, talking with pharmacists now, talking with pharmacy owners, everybody's heading in the same path for a lot of these things. There's only so many ways that you can manage accreditation. There's only so many ways that you can manage third-party contracting, but yet everybody has to come up with their own way to do it. And so we said, let's take some of the thinking out of it. Let's find a way that we can curate some content. We can curate a framework for how to manage that. And we can really empower you to spend your money on direct-to-patient care instead of spending money on resources just to do administrative types of tasks.
So let's break this in three tracks. Let's talk about Stack Community. Let's talk about Stack Long-Term Care Senior Care. And let's talk about Stack Specialty.
Sure.
And the reason why I want to do that, listeners right now, on their way to work, working out, doing something where they're listening to these podcasts, I want them to understand how they could plug into what Stack Pharmacy has done for other pharmacies. So let's start with community. Just give us an example of what Stack has done and or could do for a community independent pharmacy.
Absolutely. So, looking at it from an organizational growth and management perspective, there's certain things that you need to do as an independent community owner that really focus on just keeping the nuts and bolts of that business together. Are there things related to personnel files? Are there things related to managing individual licensure? Are there things related to your PBM contracts and deliverables related to that? That oftentimes, let's face it, particularly in smaller organizations, those are the activities that get put off to the side. They're the things that you forget about them until it's time for them to come due, or it's already, the timing has passed. Or they're the things that you add to the end of your day when you're already burned out from working a 10-hour shift on your feet, and then you have to go home and think through, all right, well, now I need to do X, Y, and Z just because I need to keep things in order. So the thought behind Stack in the community setting is to allow people the opportunity to set it up and kind of put it on autopilot as it relates to all of these different functional activities across the business. Now, the other place where we've seen a lot of growth as well is in these independent settings where you have multiple facilities, where you have very finite number of resources, but you need to find ways to scale certain shared activities across more than one location. And Stack has the ability that you can tie deliverables to a location, so that way you're seeing things specific to one versus the other, but also have some global maintenance across the entirety of your enterprise. So it's really helping to manage those assets, manage the deliverables, not just with one pharmacy, but allows you to grow and manage across the entire organization, all the properties that you may own.
We're talking with Jonathan Orgachak. He's the founder of Stack Pharmacy. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Your community pharmacy business is more important than you realize. Your employees rely on you. Your patients and customers rely on you. Your community relies on your pharmacy to provide healthcare services they trust because your reputation in the community has stood the test of time. In making a decision, it is important to consider not only your business's current needs, but its potential future aspirations. That's especially true as you consider how you plan to invest in your business over the next few years. Before you start shopping around for a financial partner, consider why you need one in the first place. Are you looking for specialized services such as investment help or a small business loan? Do you understand the amount of monthly cash flow you need? Has your pharmacy business even started yet? Choosing a lender who understands the business of pharmacy is crucial to selecting a true partner for your capital and financial needs. Contact First Financial Bank today and discover a totally different kind of bank who's ready to work with you to help your pharmacy thrive. First Financial's lending team is made up of pharmacists, pharmacy owners, and has a combined 75 years of experience in pharmacy. First Financial Bank. We understand the business of pharmacy. Find out more at ffb1.com.
Hey, we're back with Jonathan Orgerchak. He is the founder of Stack Pharmacy. Jonathan, so let's move to senior care pharmacy. And the reason being is the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists, led by Chad Wurz. Chad is an amazing hands-on pharmacist that really concentrated on helping other long-term care pharmacies build their business through the clinical side of consultancy and being a consultant pharmacist. So when I think of those entities, closed-door pharmacies mostly, although in some cases there's community pharmacies that have large patient bases that are seniors that they're serving as a long-term care pharmacy within a community, how would Stack play into, or what facet of the business might be different of what Stack could do for a long-term care pharmacy?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, long-term care is, you know, one of those niche types of areas within the industry that, you know, you serve a very distinct, a very deliberate purpose for the patients that you're trying to serve. And as a result, you've seen a growth. You've seen an expansion of the number of LTC pharmacies that are continuing to evolve nationwide. Now, on the tails of that, just from a true deliverables perspective, you're seeing some of the accreditors come up and meet with that. You know, we have some certain standards associated with long-term care management now. And so, you know, Stack is designed in that case to help to differentiate your long-term care pharmacy, as you need to provide a third-party accreditation. We support all of the standards related to those instances to help your pharmacy not just become accredited, but maintain accreditation over, you know, whatever that cycle might look like. It's a way to differentiate yourself, not only between others in the long-term care community, but similar to what I mentioned on the community side of things. You can take some of those, the mundane, the administrative types of tasks that are necessary to keep the business open, automate them, standardize them, lack of the term, set it and forget it type of thing. But, you know, it's gives the ability so that way you can focus more on what's necessary for running your business, which is direct patient care.
So the sweet spot of how you began all this was the specialty piece of this. And specialty to me is still confusing because I feel like it's a moving target. And there being, we come up with a new medication that's coming out. It's been adjusted based on the patent. It's been adjusted based on the disease state changing. So how does specialty, whereas where you kind of started all this philosophy and the way that you think of what is Stack, what could Stack do for a specialty pharmacy?
Well, you know, if you take a look at the growth of specialty pharmacy and how that industry's evolved, when I was helping, you know, my prior organization to get accredited back in 2015, at the time we were one of 25 pharmacies across the country that had two forms of third-party accreditation. Yeah, we had URAC and ACHC at the time. And one of 25, you know, thinking how many is 86,000 pharmacies across the country. For us to be one of 25 that had two was a pretty cool thing. If you look at the numbers now, there's over 400 pharmacies that have two third-party specialty accreditations. And why has that happened? There have been requirements put into place since there's not a good definition of what specialty pharmacy is, either from a pharma or from a payer perspective, what is specialty? So let's find ways that we can restrict the availability to those lives to make sure they're managed appropriately. Yeah. One way to do that has been through accreditation. You know, first it was one. You needed to have one accreditation. Then you needed to have two. You know, a lot of the requirements are the same, but a lot of them are different. So STAC was really designed with that in mind, to help you to align your efforts. So that way, if you needed to comply with one accreditor, two accreditors, you know, payer contracts, all of these things where you needed to share resources across an organization, you can do that easily. And you can also ensure that you're being compliant with everything that's expected of you to drive quality, to drive continuity of care within an organization, and not invest personnel resources to have to do those things.
So, Jonathan, we'd like you to come back to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation, some of your insights, and we can kind of hint to what we're going to talk about on our next episode. I want to talk about drug pricing. You know, we hear about a lot of this on the news. The majority of consumers don't understand why their drug prices are so high. They're in front of a pharmacy, a community setting. They have their insurance card. They find out their deductible has changed or something's changed. A lot of anger, a lot of emotion, their child's sick, whatever's happening. The consumer has no idea why drug prices are as high and out of control and skyrocketing as they are. I was listening to the Democratic convention, I guess the best of the worst of the best or the best of the worst candidates, whatever's out there. And several of them made comments about drug pricing. And of course, it was just soundbitey stuff because they really, in my opinion, they don't know what they're talking about. Drug pricing is more about the relationship between the PBM, the manufacturer, and the end user of it all. The pharmacy is kind of, at the mercy of the entity of itself and the beast of it all. Make a comment about drug pricing and what you see happening in the marketplace today and what a pharmacy owner can do to insulate or mitigate the risk of really being beat up by all this.
Sure. You know, I think you put it, you had it really well put. You know, they're looking for sound bites right now because, you know, when you're looking for winning over hearts and minds as it relates to something that you can relate to, when you talk about drug pricing, it's something that everybody understands. You know how much it costs to go to the store and buy groceries. You can very easily translate that into drug cost as well, particularly with drug pricing tending to be well more than what you pay for, you know, an order of groceries when you go to Giant Eagle or Walmart. You know, yep. Pittsburgh throw out there for the Giant
Publix
Eagle
for the Florida people.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think that the conversation is well served because there can be some controls put in place to help to better manage drug pricing. However, if you look at some of the efforts that are being suggested out there, it's not a silver bullet. It's, you know, just by fixing right. drug pricing or addressing drug pricing, it's not going to fix things as a whole, because, you know, adjusting drug pricing under one element's going to impact the rest of the cascade of where the pricing is served across the entire healthcare industry. And so, and until there's a little bit of a difference in reform across the board, you know, just, you know, changing one variable, which is drug pricing, is going to have a trickle down effect to other areas of pricing. It's going to affect deductibles. It's going to affect premiums for patients and what they're needing to spend. I mean, it's not just as simple as saying, let's fix drug pricing, because right. That's only one aspect of this. So, you know, looking at it from the pharmacy owner perspective, you know, it's continuing to provide that value for your patients to have an understanding of, you know, what is it that you can do, whether it's through copay card utilization or foundational support or other resources that are there. There's resources out there, and you as the drug experts kind of become the de facto reimbursement experts as well. If you're able to find ways to impact that patient's quality of life, not just through the drugs that they use, but through the economics associated with that, then ultimately your patients are going to be better served as a whole. And, you know, not only are they feeling better as a person, but they're feeling better in their checkbook as well, because you're able to help to marry them with what they need to actually, you know, have the best positive outcome for that. So there's resources out there, and that's something we could say for another podcast too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's you become that lifeline for your patients. You become the advocate for your patients to help to ensure and insulate them from, you know, where they're at. Just because they've been diagnosed with a condition that's impacting them financially doesn't mean that they should, you know, also have to go into the poorhouse as a result of it. And so, you know, pharmacists are well positioned to kind of serve as that intermediary for their patients.
And now there's been some new policies put in place state by state and federal that the gag has come off the pharmacist, and they're allowed to say if there's a lower cost in play, especially if it's a cash price instead of using your insurance. So that's good news. PBM reform is one of our topics and one of our series. If you're listening with Jonathan and I today about Stack Pharmacy and you're curious, just Google PBM Reform Podcast. That's PBM Reform Podcast. Jonathan, it meant a lot to me that you came down from Pittsburgh to the Hiller Studios here in Brownsville, Pennsylvania, to be in the studios at the Pharmacy Podcast Network. We're looking forward to working with you and getting you back on the show. Any ending advice for pharmacy students out there that's at that P4 level?
Yeah, you know, I teach right now in a couple of different universities related to it, and you know, we're at that time of the year with it being January, where people are looking at offers, looking at residencies, looking at, you know, what that step is post graduation. You know, one of the things I always like to impart with my students is going for a pharmacy degree is so much more beneficial than actually ever, you know, maybe even practicing as a pharmacist. You know, having a PharmD as your terminal degree, and no offense to your PhDs out there, because there's a lot of value in being a pharmacist across the spectrum. There's so much more than just community and hospital as opportunities for a career, and it's helping to find what you're passionate about and finding a way to translate that into being a pharmacist. You know, my dad told me once when I was deciding to go to pharmacy school, he's like, I don't see you as being a pharmacist. And I can't disagree. And here I am today. I'm running a software company. I'm not, you know, I haven't filled a prescription in a couple years now. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, he had the foresight to say, you know, you're going to use pharmacy as a stepping off point, as an opportunity point to find a way to do something else. And I think that, you know, there are opportunities out there to practice as a pharmacist. There are opportunities to have that direct patient care relationship, but there are a number of other opportunities that you can look at over the length of your career to really, you know, how do you use that pharmacy degree to transcend your experience and really, you know, make your day-to-day something that's really livable and enjoyable for you. There's opportunities there, and it's not just necessarily the job that you'll take right out of school. It's going to be the sum of all of those opportunities that you see from now until you retire.
Yeah, Jonathan and I were talking before we started, and we were talking about, you know, that 2-year, 3-year position with Publix Pharmacy or CVS, or I mean, those are good organizations. They're good ways to get your feet in the waters of this industry and understanding how important patient touch is. By the way, that's the focal point of everything. I don't care if you're a technologist or you're selling pharmacy software or you're a wholesaler or you're a pharmacist in a health system. It's ultimately about the patient. We believe that the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare. We're going to hear more from Jonathan about Stack Pharmacy in the meantime. Please go to stackpharmacy.com. Take a look at what Jonathan's doing. Jonathan, thank you so much for being on the show.
Todd, I appreciate you having me. This is a great great setup that you have here, and you know, I hope that the listeners continue to help you to grow as well.
Because I'm sure they will.
Yeah, you know, you've done some great things, and I appreciate you having me here.
Well, thank you for coming down. You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. We believe that the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare. Please share these podcasts. Go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. That helps us grow. And remember, we believe in you. Remember, I am your greatest fan, the Toddcaster, here at the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoy the leading podcast network dedicated to the business and profession of pharmacy, please write us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know which channel is your favorite. And remember, the pharmacist is the hub of healthcare.